Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on LI News Radio 103.9, and in the last segment, the first part of this show, we were talking about the influence of money in politics and how things happen, and particularly in the drug industry. One of the things that happens is that you get an old patent that should be up for renewal or, you know, either getting better and or terminated and going out to generic. One of the things that happened over the life of one particular drug, which is Viagra, was actually used as a heart medicine to begin with. What they noticed was that it had the additional beneficial effect of erectile dysfunction correction. So now it had a new patent based on that rather than the heart medicine that it was supposed to be. Well, what they did was they took that old medicine that was about to be a generic and now had a new patent on it without doing anything, without literally doing anything to the drug itself. They had to make some tests probably to show that it actually worked and functioned as it was supposed to. However, they didn't do anything to the medicine itself. It was the medicine of the heart that they actually did this with. This happens time and time again. One of the best writers on business and this type of topic is a lady named Gretchen Morgenson. And she works for the New York Times. And she calls them zombie patents. Patents that should have died didn't, because somebody extended those patents for virtually nothing, for virtually doing nothing. And sometimes a medicine that was maybe at $2 a pill is now sold at $10 a pill under a new patent for which there is no justification whatsoever. This is the kind of corruption that goes on when money in politics means so much. So what's the answer? The answer is getting to a new topic, and that would be finance reform. Let us suppose that you as a taxpayer, or even as just a citizen, could direct the federal government to pay, put, say, $10 a year into a fund that would be used by elected officials for their campaign finances. Well, you wouldn't see the billions of dollars out of that. You'd see hundreds of millions of dollars, and those hundreds of millions of dollars would probably be confined to do what they do in, say, places like England, which I think they have 6 weeks of campaigning. So they have an open season on your television for about 6 weeks, paid for by this fund, and I don't know how they do it in Europe, but I do know that this is what I'd like to see in America. You pay for this with the money that each citizen says they wants the government to spend, and that could be legislated. It could be like you have no choice. You could just say, have legislation for every voting citizen in the country. You get $10 toward this fund, or if you need more, you get $11 to this fund, or $12, whatever it is. But you don't get inundated with politics a year and a half out there. This morning, I'm watching Morning Joe. I love to watch the politics because it's something that interests me. But we're talking about people who are not going to be elected for another year. And we're talking about them all the way up. Now, what are we talking about? We're not talking about policy. We're talking about polls. We're talking about popularity. We're talking about stupid comments. We are not talking about the policies that will make life better. So it's a big waste of time and a waste of airspace. And I think what we ought to be doing is talking about times, letting that be a concentrated effort within, say, 6 weeks of the election, where everybody gets out there to pontificate on what they think is best for America, whether it be at the congressional level, the governor's level, your local politician's level, your city council. Let it be then. In the meantime, let's talk about things that are important, and let's talk about what policies we need to put into place to make a better country. And, I wanted to get back to something I said in the earlier segment. When this country was devised, I think it was devised intentionally to overcome the possibility that we could be run by idiots. And the reason why I say that is because we have been run by idiots for a long time, and intermittently. We've had bright people and we've had idiots. But the country itself seems to persevere. So we can ride out the presidencies that we decry as being deficit in their thinking, or evil in their thinking. Because the system has a structure that makes it work anyway, and eventually we get rid of these slugs that screw up the system. And I don't have to tell you who the slugs are, and I don't want to do it on this show, and I'll tell you why. Because you have a different perception of who the slugs are than I do. And that all doesn't matter, because they all get flushed. They get flushed down the toilet after a certain period of time, because the system is designed to do just that. The problem with the system is it doesn't do it well enough. We need, and to do that, you need term limits and you need finance reform. So in our whole scheme of things, we are at a position where we're doing pretty well, despite ourselves. Because we couldn't plan to, a good government and come out with an outcome every time we put it together. But we have had some wonderful successes in this country, and good things happened. And one of them was the Peace Corps. The Peace Corps did more for the image of this country than any bomb ever did for the image of this country. No matter how many good weapons we have to fight wars, it doesn't count as much in keeping the peace as something like the Peace Corps. Unfortunately, the Peace Corps can hardly operate in a world where there's so much hostility. The Peace Corps could, at one point under Presidents Johnson and Kennedy, could do almost anything. They could go almost anywhere. They were welcome. And through the period of the 70s too, lots of good things have happened. So that's the kind of things that we have to think about. Now, what about electrification of the world? And I'm going to talk about that in another show. How about the economies of green technology and what it means to us and what it means to the world? We can do so much better. Those economies that we could create by virtue of green energies not only would clean up the planet, which we think is necessary, some people don't, but they're the problems, not the solution. But if we do that, we create a situation where the world is no longer hostage to the fossil fuel industry. The fossil fuel industry, by the way, buys senators and congressmen like nobody else. They have perfected the art of purchasing people. And that is why we need to get rid of fossil fuels. Not only because it is detrimental to the environmental health of the planet, it's detrimental to the political climate of the country. We can't have powerful interests like that dictating the terms of which we're going to do business. We have to take control. And by the way, that's the final, that's the closing message of this. Don't expect anybody to do your bidding. You are the citizen. You are the guy who votes. You have to be out there in the forefront, and you have to make it happen. It's that simple, and it's that difficult, because it's not easy to be a conscientious citizen. It takes a little time, a little reading, and a little work. And that's what we are all about. And that's why a country like this can never exist on a long-term basis without the participation of an educated electorate. And that's what you got to be, and that's what I got to be, and that's the and we have to be conscientious and never-ending critic of the system that we're under. I want to thank you for listening. This is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking, and we're on LI News Radio 103.9. Thanks again.